Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
We're starting something new today. We're starting a teaching series. It's going to take us all through the summer, and it's called The Best Sermon Ever. And it's not my sermon. It's not a sermon that Pastor Nick or Pastor Ryan preached. We're going to re-preach and talk about a sermon that Jesus Christ preached. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, and it can be found in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Matthew, and it's going to take us 11 weeks to work all the way through this, and we're going to let Jesus and his sermon preach to us. And so if you're ready, let's just kind of start today, and I want to give you the setup, because we are in chapter 5, which means there's been four other chapters that have gone before this, and here's what's happened in those four chapters. Jesus has been born. Jesus has grown up, so he's about 30 years of age right now. Jesus has been baptized by his cousin John, and then he's retreated into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting. During that time, Satan has come and tempted him, and Jesus has met Satan head on and has defeated him in that moment and shown him the door for that moment. And now Jesus has returned from the desert, and he has called 12 men to follow him. And these 12 men, they're going to be called his disciples. And now you arrive at chapter 5. And in chapter 5, Jesus has gathered these 12 men together. And all this stuff that I'm talking about, everything that I just introduced to you, is happening in the northern region of Israel. It's called the region of Galilee. There's a sea. There's a body of water called the Sea of Galilee. And it's a very poor part of the country. It's way away. It's way far from the center of politics. It's far from the center of the economy. It's far from the center of religion. It really is in that area off the beaten path. There's a little village close to Galilee called Nazareth, and they used to make fun of Nazareth. They used to say, "What good has come from Nazareth?" Incidentally, that's where Jesus would grow up, all right? And so this is kind of that area. And so just not a lot of happenings normally in Galilee, but there's rumors. There's rumors that this man has shown up, a local, and he's preaching and he's teaching and he's saying things that no one has ever heard before. And so this Jesus has shown up and he's on a hillside off of the Sea of Galilee, and he's got his 12 disciples with him, and he sits them down, and they're gathered around him. But Jesus is keenly aware that there are literally hundreds of people who are close by listening in. Here's what it says in verse 1. It says, seeing the crowds, so there were crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. So listen, Jesus is talking to his disciples, but hundreds and hundreds are listening in. So here's what I would have to say to you today, to us today in the room. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have said yes to Jesus, and you are what we call a Christian because you have said yes to Jesus, then what you need to know is this word, this sermon is for you. Jesus has a word specifically for you, you at home, on vacation, in the room. He's got a word for you. However, if you're not a follower of Jesus, let's say that you're just here today because someone invited you and you're curious, or they've been inviting you for a long time and you're finally like, I'm gonna finally go and, you know, get this guy off my back. So you're here, right? Or maybe you just are like looking through YouTube and you ran across us, or you're on Facebook and you're watching, or whatever, you're here, but you're curious. And you've never quite said yes to Jesus, so you're kind of listening. Here's what I have to say to you. Jesus knows you're listening, and he's okay with that. He actually invites that today. And so, with that said, let me pray, and then we'll dive into the first part of the greatest sermon, the best sermon ever. Oh, Father, we're back in your house today. Grateful to be here. Thank you, God, that we can be together once again. And oh, God, if we've ever taken that for granted, we repent of that. We say we're sorry because it is so good to be singing worship songs to you and to be together as a body in this building. God, I want to pray that you open us up today to what you want. And what do you want, God? What is it that you have to say to us today? Would you open our ears to hear that? Open our eyes to see it. Open our hearts to receive it. I pray that you would guide me. I pray that you would prevent me from saying anything that I don't need to say. And everything that needs to be said, would you guide me into that? Would you sprinkle this message now with the blood of Christ? And it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray this. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Verse 2, Jesus opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who are before you. I'm gonna stop at that point, and let me point out that what I have just read, this very, very famous section of scripture, this prologue, this beginning point for the Sermon on the Mount, this is called the Beatitudes. Now that you may have heard that word before, but that word Beatitudes, that is not God's word, that's man's word. Jesus never used the word Beatitude. It's actually a Latin word that means blessing. And so most accurately, what we just read are what are known as the nine blessings. So the idea of being blessed, it's the idea of you should be congratulated, or it's the idea if you're blessed that you have some reward that's waiting for you that you can claim, or that you on some level are fortunate. That's what it means to be blessed. And what typically happens with this section of blessings, these Beatitudes, is, I mean, you could do a whole series on this. We're gonna do 11 weeks on the whole sermon. But you could literally do 9 weeks on just the Beatitudes, and people have done that. Bible studies, books have been written on the Beatitudes where you take them one at a time and you just break them down and you sort of dissect them and really dive deep on what are each of these saying. So we're not gonna do that today. We're gonna take a whole different approach. We're gonna look at them as a whole, right? Because if you think about it, that's actually how they came to the disciples in real time. Jesus gets up, he starts preaching, and it's like boom, 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 boom. And he sort of lets these fall on the disciples and on everyone else. He lets them fall as they fall. And here's the deal, boy, they really do fall. And so when you step back and you actually look at them as a whole, you see some things that you may not see if you look at them one at a time. There is a progression to the Beatitudes. There's actually an escalation to what Jesus is saying. And like any great preacher, Jesus, he starts where his audience is at. Like he starts where the people are so that he can take them where he wants them to go. So he starts with the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Once again, where are we? We're in Galilee. It's a region full of fishing villages. Nobody is rich in Galilee, all right? Nobody. And so the people are listening and they are immediately bought into this preacher. That's right, preacher. Blessed are the poor. That's me. That's right. You got it. He moves on. Those who mourn. Surely we understand that poverty brings pain. And once again, the people are right with Jesus. They relate. They like what they are hearing. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. You know, we're talking about a group of people, an audience that for the most part feels very powerless. They feel beat down. They feel defeated because Rome has invaded and they're an occupying force. And once again, this is Galilee, not Jerusalem. This is not the seat of where the Pharisees and the Sadducees are. And these people just really, really feel like they are beat down and on the outs, and they're just hanging with Jesus. And then Jesus comes along. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And the crowd is like, yes! Except Jesus isn't talking about food and water. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And at this point, Jesus starts to turn things. And you can almost see the crowd going, huh? Where's he going now? And then he comes on with the next one. Blessed are those who are merciful. Wait a minute, preacher. I'm the one that needs mercy. I mean, you've been talking about poor, being poor and pain, and I need the mercy. You mean I'm the one that's supposed to show mercy? And then Jesus pushes it even further. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. Now, this one stings. This is the one that stings. I'm gonna tell you why. You know, if you walk up to most people, and you are to just ask most men or most women, hey, are you a good person? I'll bet without exception, the response is gonna be, yeah, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I mean, very few people think they're bad. You know, are you a good person? Yeah, I'm a good person. Jesus doesn't ask that question. He asks a whole different question. If you were to ask somebody, are you a pure person? You ask that question, you're probably gonna get somebody just staring at you. You know, it's like, where is he going with this? And then he comes along with another one. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers? Wait a minute. You want me to make peace? You want me to be the one that brings, I mean, with Rome? I mean, understand the context here. There was a side group, an organization of Jews. They were called the Zealots, and they were literally like a local militia, like an underground guerrilla type militia, a terrorist group that would launch secret attacks against the Roman government, and they had wide support of the people. In fact, one of the 12 disciples sitting around with Jesus, his name was Simon. And he's wearing a t-shirt that says, I'm a zealot, okay? And so he's like doing this now all of a sudden as Jesus is talking. Jesus is really calling it out. And then finally he lands with this one. Blessed are those who are persecuted for doing right. Okay, now you've gone too far, preacher. Now you've gone to meddling. I'm the one that needs to be free from persecution. I'm not trying to invite persecution, but then Jesus digs in. He digs in even harder. I want to go back to verses 11 and 12. I want to read them one more time from the New Living Translation. Check this out with me on the screen. The words of Christ. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. All right, so I'm gonna stop right there for a moment because this is what it means to follow Jesus. You ready? How many of y'all are ready to sign up? Let's just stop right now, Chris. Let's have the invitation. And everybody who ready to sign up to be hated, come on down. Because that's what Jesus says it's gonna be like to follow him. People will hate you. They will mock you. If you wanna follow Jesus, they will say all sorts of evil things about you. They'll lie about you. Get this, they might even cancel you. And we're told this is actually a great thing. And you should be happy about it. So let's go, let's sign them up, right? Jesus isn't done. This is important. I mean, this is sort of like orientation day for college. You've been, you're in. It's time to go, and you know, like in a couple of months, we're going to have orientation day for our seminary. We're going to give you a seminary update next week. Okay, God's doing some amazing things with the birth of our seminary, but we're going to have an orientation day, and that's when the students are going to figure out what they've really signed up for. This is orientation day. This is when Jesus is looking at his disciples, and he's like, "Okay, this is what you have really signed up for. Are you ready now? Are you ready?" And let me just say to us today, in the room and online in the year 2024, not much has changed. I'll even say this, in my ministry career now, I will say that over the last 5 years, going back maybe 8-10 years, I am increasingly seeing more and more church members who are coming to us as staff, coming to me personally, who are struggling because of some issue at work, some issue with their business, some issue with the corporation they work for, and it is always coming down to the fact that they are following Jesus, and that's where the rub is. And it's like, what am I going to do? And more and more and more, it's kind of like, can I even stay in this job, or will they let me stay in this job? And it's more and more becoming that way. And here's the deal. Jesus told us it would be this way. No surprise. And so you know what we need to do? We need to lean in hard right now to this greatest sermon ever preached, because Jesus has a couple of things to say to really, really encourage us in the midst of this reality. And the first thing he has to say is this. He says, a great reward is coming. Listen, it's going to be hard. And they're going to lie about you. You're going to be labeled certain things. The culture is totally against you. And if you're going to follow me, you're going to pay a price. But here's what you need to know. A great reward is coming. And this is the other thing about the Beatitudes. When you look at them as a whole instead of one by one, something that you see here. There's nine of them. Seven of the nine are future tense. Like, blessed are whatever, and you're going to receive whatever. The receive part is future tense. It's in the future. It's not now. Two of the blessings are for the here and the now. It's for the poor in spirit and those who are persecuted, and it's actually the same reward. It says that right now, yours is the kingdom of heaven. So if you're poor in spirit, if you're beat down by following Jesus, if you're persecuted by following Jesus, you need to know that you don't have to wait, that right now, the kingdom of heaven is yours. So you're like, Jeff, what does that mean? What does that look like? Let me tell you what the kingdom of heaven right now is. It is very literally the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus came, he established his church, he ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to help us and to indwell us and to empower us. And literally the kingdom of heaven on earth is the presence of Christ's local church, which is why we're real big on church around here. It's why we feel it when the building's closed and we can't be together corporately. We feel it, don't we? Because it actually does mean something, because it is as close to the heaven as we're gonna get on earth right now is the church. So when this world beats you down, and it will because you follow Jesus, you run to your church. But the rest of the blessings, they're future tense, which means we've got to be future focused. It means we have to embrace this idea of delayed gratification. We're not good at that. But boy, we're told, listen, if you follow Jesus, it's gonna be awesome when you get to heaven. We are told that when you finally make it, you will be satisfied. You may not be satisfied right now. You may be very, very, very dissatisfied, but full, complete satisfaction on the other side. We are told that when we get there, that we literally will inherit the earth. We may be rejected on earth today. We will literally inherit the earth tomorrow. And literally, in a way that we cannot right now, we will see God and will be called sons and daughters of God. We are told by Jesus that great is your reward that awaits you in heaven. It is worth every lie and every mocking and every dollar you might lose to follow Jesus. It is all worth it. A great reward is coming. And the second thing Jesus says is this, listen to me, you're not alone. You're not alone. You may feel like you're alone, which once again, that's where the church can really, really help. Because you're not alone. There were those that came before you, the prophets, and they were beat up pretty bad too, some of them killed. And we know historically that this group of men that Jesus is talking to, these 12 disciples, we know historically, we know that one of them decided he didn't want to pay this price, so he walked away from Jesus. He was replaced. And out of that group of 12, 11 of the 12 would be martyred because they followed Jesus. And we're talking about horrible, torturous deaths. And the 12th, who was not martyred, his name was John, he was the youngest, they tried to kill him, they boiled him in oil. So scarred and crippled after surviving that, they dumped him on an island called Patmos where he lived out the rest of his life, which incidentally is where he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. You are not alone. You know, you get to this point in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is these people, they need a pep talk at this point. Like you would too, probably, right? And so Jesus has some real intense words of encouragement. I want to finish this up, and then I want to read something to close out today. But in verses 13 through 16, here's what I want you to picture that all of this has just been laid out. And now Jesus is leaning in. He's leaning in, and he's got fire in his eyes. And he is looking at you. Like, it's almost like he's looking through you. He can see into the depths of you, and he knows your fears. He knows your doubts. He knows your excuses, and he knows that you need to hear this. You are the salt of the earth. Now, if salt loses its taste, how shall it become salty? Have saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus ends with this talk, let your light shine. And this calls for boldness, it does. It calls for courage and it calls for embracing your fellowship of Jesus. And Christians have been doing this, and in fact, throughout the rest of the New Testament, you'll see more, hundreds and hundreds of people follow Jesus and say yes to this. There was one man, his name was Saul in particular. And Saul was walking away from Jesus until he decided to walk with and follow Jesus, and then he became known as Paul. And I'll tell you something, Paul paid a price too. Paul paid a hefty price during his day in order to follow Jesus, but he embraced the call to follow Jesus. And in Romans 1:16, here's how Paul summed it up. He said, I am not ashamed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. What about you, my friends? Are you a follower of Christ today? Have you said yes to following this Jesus? Are you prepared to pay that price? Are you prepared to let your light shine? Listen, it's a dark world, but here's the thing about dark worlds. The darker it becomes, the brighter the light shines. Are you ready to let your light shine? Are you ready to follow this Jesus? I want to close today. I want to read something to us. It's not really, I called it a poem, but it's not really a poem. This first came to me many, many years ago when I was a teenager. I was at a student ministry retreat camp, and the preacher at the time shared this with us, and as a young man who had just made the decision newly to follow Christ, this really sunk deep with me. All these years later, about a month and a half ago, I began to think about this, kind of came back to my mind, and I went and I dug it out and I found it again. It's been around a long time. I did some research. I wanted to find out what the origin of this was, and it's a little bit cloudy, but I did a lot of work on this and kind of dug it out, and what I'm about to share with you is about 100 years old. I mean, best as we can tell, it originated in the 1920s, okay? So I know that for those of you born in the 50s and 60s, you're like going, whoa, okay, all right, but 100 years ago, right? 1920s. This is written by a pastor, an African pastor in the country of Zimbabwe. The story goes that he was confronted and seized by his tribe, of whom he had walked away from in order to become a Christian. And he was evangelizing them, and they took him. And they gave him an ultimatum to either recant his fellowship of Christ or to face death. And so he went to his room, and he prayed, and he stayed up all night long. And he wrote these words. The next day, his life was taken from him on earth. And after he was dead and martyred, those who were sympathetic to him were going through his belongings, and they found this declaration. You may have heard it before, it may be brand new to you, but I share it with us today as we close out. This has been entitled, The Fellowship of the Unashamed. I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I will not look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, cheap giving, and dwarfed roles. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, love by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, nor meander in the maze of mediocrity. I will not give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I must run until he stops me. Give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no trouble recognizing me. My colors are flying high. They are cleared for all to see. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. What about you, my friend? Are you a follower of Christ? Are you ready to step out and say yes to that? I'm not gonna lie to you. It will not be easy to follow Jesus. if you're really following Jesus. There will be a price to pay. Are you ready to pay the price? But oh, my friends, listen to me, the payoff, the reward, it is so over the top, I've tried to describe it. I can't describe it. Even I cannot comprehend it, but I believe it. And it is worth it. It is worth it to follow Jesus, to say yes to him, to have your sins forgiven and removed from you so that you can follow him now and for all of eternity. Listen to me. The gospel is simply this. Jesus will forgive all your sins if you come to him humbly, bow down at his feet, and you say, you're the Lord, you're the master, and I will follow you all the days of my life so that I can live for all of eternity with you in the glory of God, our Father in heaven. I want to ask that you bow your head and close your eyes. Would you say yes to that? Why would you say no to that? Today is a day of salvation. For those of you at home, on the road, wherever you're at, today is a day of salvation. I invite you, if you're watching online, just to slip to your knees and begin to pray. For those in the room who are following Christ today, would you pray for those who aren't? Because surely there are some. Surely there are many who are listening right now who have not said yes to Jesus, who have never made a choice to follow Jesus. And I invite you to do that today, right now. With no one looking around, I'm gonna say a prayer. There's nothing special about the words, but it's a prayer that has been uttered. Similar prayers have been uttered for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's called a prayer of salvation. Because you may be sitting there today at home or here in the building and wondering, how does this work? What do I do? I will lead you. I can't do it for you, but I can lead you with a prayer. And if you will join me in this prayer, if your heart will echo the words of the prayer, then today, right now, you can find salvation and forgiveness of your sins, and you will secure that great reward we've talked about. Are you ready? The prayer goes like this, and you just pray it with your heart right now. Dear Lord Jesus, just say that to the Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Just admit it, because we all are. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry. Jesus, would you forgive my sin? Just ask him right now. Jesus, would you forgive my sin? And will you come into my heart? I invite you into my heart right now. Just pray that. And I don't understand how all of this works, but thank you for taking my sin away from me. Thank you for dying on the cross. Just thank him right now for dying on the cross for you. And Jesus, I want to say thank you for the free gift of eternal life. Just thank him for that right now. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life. I don't deserve it, but thank you anyway. And I promise from this day forward to follow you all the days of my life. Just pray that right now. Now, no one's looking around. If you prayed that prayer at home, I want to encourage you to let us know. Reach out, email us, call us. If you're in the room, in a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And I want to ask that you do something very courageous. I want to ask that you step out from where your seat is, come to the front of the room to one of our staff members, and just tell them that you prayed that prayer. And we will celebrate with you and pray with you. We will not embarrass you. We will not bring you on the stage. We just want to know who our brothers and sisters are, and we'll celebrate with you. If you have any need today, the altar is open. Any need. You want to pray for someone who is lost, the altar is open. If you want to pray with a staff member about any physical or spiritual or emotional need in your life, we're here to pray with you. Father God, thank you for moving. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for this greatest sermon ever preached. And would you use it over the next weeks to change us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.